going to sing Luke, the 14th, the 18th chapter.
Glory to the Lord.
The coming reign of God will involve unexpected reversals of fortune with judgment rooted in mercy. Jesus tells a parable in which the one who humbles himself is exalted, and the one who exalts his own righteousness is humbled. And so we read. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like those other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. We'll now invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Can you come this way, guys? No? Okay, then watch closely. In our gospel reading that Pastor Ron just read, we heard the words about the two men. One was bragging about how good he was, and one was sad that he couldn't match up to what God expects of us. So, how many of you have ever played the tower game? None of you? Oh, I played it forever and we still play it. Well, it goes something like this, and I hope you'll see the connection. I say my prayers every night. I say prayers before I eat. I clean my room. I put toys away before I go to bed. Can you think of something else you do that you might? What else do you do? You clean your room. I clean my room. I come right away when mom or dad call me. I put my clothes in the right places. I am nice to all of my friends. I never say bad things to my brothers and sisters. I help my mom take care of the little ones. I feed my pets. What happened? It crashed. It fell down. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling his disciples in this story. The man that came into the temple was saying all these wonderful things about himself, and he crashed. But the man that came in and said, I'm so sorry for what I've done, Jesus was there to lift him up and to help him. And that's what Jesus will do for us also. If we come and pray humbly, he will lift us up. Will you pray with me? Say after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me and picking me up when I crash. Amen.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I guess I need a show of hands this morning. How many of you like country and western music? All right. I happen to listen to country and western music every chance I get, whether it be out in my shop or maybe I'm traveling down the road or whatever. And there are a lot of country and western hymns that really speak to the good news of Jesus Christ and that he is the Lord of all. Not all of them, but many of them. And one of the latest ones that has just arrived on the scene that I think is very timely and much needed, and I'm sure that you've heard it, is one that says that we should be humble and kind. And what a beautiful hymn it is. And somehow, I think that being humble and kind has kind of gone out of the window recently, especially during this election year in our country. And I guess it's always my fervent prayer when things like this happen that God will save us from ourselves. Well, this thing called being humble and kind, or gentle and kind, or in other words, acting with humility, has been a major theme of the gospel lessons in the past couple months. The Beatitudes, if you remember, the Lord taught us that we are to be blessed, and that blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. He said, blessed are those who are meek. Now, in our country today, and in our schools, and in sports, and everything else, nobody wants to be poor in spirit, or to mourn, or to be meek, because that's a sign of weakness. But that's not what Jesus teaches us. Jesus also in his parable teaches about waiting to be seated, being asked to come forward. Now, how many times does this happen? All you have to do is go to Walmart or be driving down 1604, or even on a day like the other day when we had a beautiful, wonderful reception in our fellowship hall, and there was a mad rush to be first in line to get their food. You know, we are to be meek and humble and kind. And then there were several lessons that focused on material possessions, all of that stuff in our lives that we just can't live without. Our son Mark and Shelley, who live in Kennedy, have a storage unit over in Kennedy called the Pack Rat, and it's also in Lavernia. You just can't believe the stuff that they are asked to store in their units. It's just unbelievable just how much that we have and that we really often don't need. But Jesus did more than teach about true humility. He stepped forward with his own life, and he gave us the greatest example that we could ever have. In true humility, the God of the universe lowered himself to become one of us. This Lord of all was born as a helpless infant who placed his human life in the hands of a young, inexperienced Jewish girl. This King of Kings grew to manhood as a lowly carpenter's son, as a transient teacher, as a peasant preacher. Yet, he has had a greater impact on this world, on our lives, on everything that exists than anyone who has ever lived. He showed us what it means to be humble and kind. I think true humility has its roots in the sense of indebtedness. Now, because of sin, our age-old rebellion, you and I have piled up a debt that we can never, ever, ever repay. It's only when we realize just how much we owe will we ever be able to give up being proud and self-sufficient in this life. It's only when we fall on our knees, bankrupt, will we follow the one who is meek and lowly in heart. It's only then when will we be able to embrace the greatest virtue of all, true humility. For only through true humility will we be able to live in the peace, in a peace that we have, that we can have peace with ourselves and with those around us, and most importantly, with God. Now, true humility depends on understanding and accepting our relationship with God. I need him, you need him, we all need him. Because without him, life will be superficial, and life will have very little meaning or purpose. Without him, we would never be strong enough. We would never be wise enough. We would never be humble and kind enough to handle even the most ordinary things in life without messing them up. You know, all that we have comes from his gracious, loving, caring hands. And next to his son, you know what? You and I are his greatest gift. And he wants a relationship with us. A relationship that's natural, that's never forced, that's never staged, or never faked. He wants a relationship with us that's filled with what? True humility. Now let's look at this relationship in today's parable. First, from the Pharisee's point of view, he was probably the president of the synagogue. He was probably a prominent, well-respected member of his community. Not only does he support his synagogue, but I'm sure that he also gives to all kinds of different causes and needs in his community. And he knows exactly what others think of his own importance. And you know what? He believes every word of it. He thought that he had it made. His humility, or his lack of it, made him believe that his relationship with God was secure. Sad to say, He may have had the respect of all of his peers, those around him who thought he was great, but not with God. His whole life was bankrupt in the sight of God. Now this other character, this tax collector, this publican, he was a real nobody, probably despised. I'm sure he was looked down upon by everyone. And no doubt he was probably the subject of a whole lot of off-color jokes and was shunned in public places. You know, it took real gall for this man, this nobody, to even think of entering into this place of worship, let alone pray to God. Now, both made their prayers to God. And as they made their prayers, each prayer revealed a great deal about their relationship with God and their own sense of true humility. The Pharisee, proud of his many, many virtues, paraded them shamelessly before God and before all who heard him. 5 times in the gospel lesson, he uses the pronoun I to inform everyone of his goodness and how lucky he was. Have you ever thought about the middle letter of the word sin? It's I. But how about this publican? There was no doubt about who he was. He was a sinner. And he knew how unworthy he was. And he stood far off, out of sight, so that he was sure that he could never come close to that altar. Now, beating on his chest, he felt like a drowning man who was about to die. No long speeches. All that he said were just these few words: God help me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. This man saw the great chasm between himself and God, and the real difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector was their spirit of true humility. The Pharisee went home as he came, no different, still proud, still arrogant, still pleased with himself, completely satisfied. And as I wrote this sermon, I thought, Ron, how many times have you gone home after confessing your faith before God and receiving his forgiveness and mercy, that you have gone home no different than this Pharisee? Then Jesus turns his attention to the publican, this tax collector, this nobody, a man who was too ashamed to even look heavenward, a man who pleads for God's mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus shocks his audience, those who were there listening to him, shocks his disciples by saying that this publican, this tax collector, this nobody went home justified, just as he had never sinned. Justified. Isn't that a fantastic word? It's the most wonderful good news word that anyone could ever hear. The publican went home right with God, pardoned and forgiven. And here's the most important part of all: ready to start a new life. Now, God wants the same thing for us today. He wants each and every one of us to come to his house and to go home justified and not dignified. Maybe that's why Jesus could say, Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about what you wear. Or don't worry about how many storage bins you have. Or about what other people think of you. The dignified people of this world, that's what they seek, Jesus said. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be given to you. Now, Jesus ends this parable today in our gospel lesson by saying, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." This was the Lord's pattern of life. He humbled himself, he took on the form of a servant, and he became obedient even to death on a cross. That's the model of true humility that our Lord wants us to follow. He wants us, you and me, to put our holier-than-thou attitude toward life, vision of ourselves, what other people we think should think of us, and lay it aside, to lay it at the foot of the cross. And he wants us to bow our knees and to confess to Jesus as Lord, and then to serve others as he serves us. And as we live a life of true humility, he promises that we shall also be exalted and be given a new life, a life that Catherine is now experiencing, a life that will last forever. Now, that's the good news for each and every one of us. Good news that we can stake our lives on. So I want you to do something for me this morning. If you believe that this is true, I want you to say aloud, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.